Welcome to Alumni Live, the podcast. These are conversations with Grand Valley State University film and video graduates about the industry, the film video major, and alumni profiles.
Hi, and welcome to another Alumni Live. Today, we are talking with some alumni that are from LA and about the trials and tribulations of working, living, and moving to LA. So they're going to join me here, and we're going to go with AJ Bedard first. How long have you been in LA, and what are you up to?
I've been in LA for just over 3 years now. I got out here March of 2017, and I'm currently a movie trailer editor at Project XAB.
Awesome. And Talon, what about you? How long have you been there? What are you up to?
So I moved to LA 2.5 years ago about, and I started off as a development intern, and then now I am a coordinator at FX Networks Marketing.
Awesome. And I actually forgot to introduce myself. I'm Katie Troop. I actually am not in LA. I am working from home for 52 Watt Studios in Gunnison, Michigan right now. And I am lucky to be close to Grand Valley and on the film and video alumni chapter. I'm on the board there for the last couple of years. So I'm hosting today, and let's kick it off to Jeannie. How long have you been in LA, and what is your current job situation?
So I've been in LA for about 5.5 years. And up until recently, I was working at Universal Studios Hollywood, graphic design for the theme park. But due to COVID, things have changed slightly.
So you're currently laid off?
Yes.
I think each of us have been there for a certain amount of time. Kelly, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. We actually have a creative production call this morning with some of our company heads. So I was helping get that set up. That's part of my job duties here. But we are in the full swing of things, even in the midst of COVID.
Awesome. And how long have you been in LA, and what are you up to?
I moved to LA in March of 2019, so last year, and I am currently an office production assistant at an unscripted TV company, which is a better way to say reality.
And last but not least, Scott Shepard, who was actually one of my classmates. How long have you been in LA, and what are you up to?
I've been in LA for 11 years, and I currently work as a freelance editor and documentary filmmaker, director, producer.
Awesome. So one of the great things about Alumni Live is that we can take live questions. So first, I wanted to talk to you guys about your choice to move to LA and the length of time in between when you graduated versus when you moved. Some of you, it was you moved before you graduated. Others, it was just a few days or years. So AJ, you moved before you graduated from Grand Valley. What was that experience like?
It was very interesting, actually, because I had talked to Kim Roberts, my advisor. She was talking to me about the possibilities of moving out to LA. And I was always thinking that if the opportunity presented itself, I would make the jump. So instead of taking extra classes like the sound design class or like higher film classes, I decided to drop all of the classes that I had in the next semester. I dropped everything except for the one class that I had left, which was an independent study, so that if I moved to LA, I could finish it up there. The opportunity presented itself with a phone call at 2 a.m. from another alumni, Lewis Stone, who said he was looking for a roommate. And I jumped at the opportunity and I moved out and I finished my last class in LA.
Awesome. So you moved because you had the opportunity and you seized that chance.
Correct. An opportunity presented itself.
That's awesome. Kelly, you actually spent a few years back home in Indiana working before you moved out. And how has that worked out for you?
You know, I think that was actually the best thing to help me get on track. I was working in a typical office back in Indiana, so I was able to get a lot of skills that actually helped me transfer over to an office production position because I was already familiar with office protocols, how to use, you know, properly write an email, use Google Drive, and all those things that were really helpful for production. I think a lot of my education at Grand Valley focused on, you know, set skills and lighting and all those practical things for on set. But if you want to work in production or development or something behind the scenes, it's really helpful to know what it's like to work in an office environment. And I was able to bring a sizable savings out here, which really helped me out. It let me make options out of what was best for me instead of making decisions on, oh, I got to live somewhere immediately or I'm going to live in my car. You know, so I'm very thankful for the time I spent at home with my family, saving up so I could really make the LA move a way that I wanted to.
Nice. And so we have our first question. Would you recommend moving to LA immediately or waiting a few years? Considering COVID, I think we've all kind of talked about this, but if anyone wants to take that question.
regarding the current situation with coronavirus, it's best to wait. You're not missing anything here. Nothing's happening. People who still have their jobs, but everything's kind of at a halt. And I know there might be rumors that you might hear that, like, oh, production's starting back up, rents dropping, things like that. But it's still not great out here. Even more than half our industry is out of work right now. And so it's just better to wait and save up your money, I think. You're not missing out anything when you come here. I know some people are just very eager to move out to Los Angeles right now, but this is kind of like your best situation to stay home and save up money and just wait it out a little bit more.
Yeah, just think about all the people that are like laid off right now and how many of those people are going to be the first pick to get those jobs back. And you're going to be fighting against all those people that have 5, 10, 15 years of experience under their belt already as a person that's just moved to the city. You're almost at more of a disadvantage. But if you stay home, get work there, or make a big savings, then when all this is over, then you're going to be at the best situation you can be in.
Scott, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I would just totally agree with that. I mean, there's so many people are laid off right now. When people do start hiring again, a lot of those people laid off, they're going to be applying for jobs that they are way overqualified for. So not only are you competing against those people, but they're going to take jobs that they wouldn't typically take just to get back in the workforce, because that's kind of how dire things are right now. People are really desperate for work. And I'm seeing a lot of people flee LA. A lot of people are leaving LA.
And that's why some of the apartments you've said were showing up as not as expensive, because there's less demand. But also, what can students do right now who, okay, they're not going to move to LA just yet? How can they network and make connections? Do you guys have any recommendations for networking remotely to make those connections ahead of time?
Yeah, I would say one big thing that's helped me out here in my move to LA period in terms of housing and jobs is Facebook groups. I've been added to a couple of Facebook groups specifically for women, for sexual minorities, for people working in reality TV. And I'm just seeing links every single day to who knows a PA in this area or who knows someone who can do this and that. And then everyone tags each other in the comments. And I've seen so many names that then I've later met them, like, oh, we've accidentally been talking for several months and it's nice to finally meet you. And the great thing about being on those Facebook groups is, like, you can ask the questions, you can meet these people, and you can just stay at home and you can learn so many things just from reading that. And I also found housing that way too. So honestly, Facebook, beyond GV alum, just Facebook groups in general.
That's a great tip. Do you guys have any other ones?
I mean, when I was in college, I was talking to different professors about editors who had graduated beforehand, people who were out in LA already, anybody who I could talk to about how to learn the ropes of moving to LA and like what opportunities there are and how to present yourself as a new person in LA and a freshly graduated college student. I met a lot of good people, Michael Johnson, Brad Stenzel, Joe Suzuki, like all those people just from getting a name from Suzanne Zack or Kim Roberts. Your advisors and your professors know a lot of people who moved out here, as exampled by this. Like, there are people out here who are willing to help you and teach you what you need to know. So just talking to people who know connections, like your professors, helps a lot too.
For sure. It's the Laker for a lifetime kind of thing, right? So Scott, how have you networked through your years out in LA?
Well, when I first got here, I moved with a couple Grand Valley alum, actually, and then started hanging out with a lot of Grand Valley alum pretty much right off the bat. And that's how I got a lot of my early jobs. People I'm still friends with that have really helped my career in a lot of ways. So it was really that Grand Valley alumni at the beginning was helpful, because I didn't have the resume to get hired as a set PA on a TV show right off the bat, but I knew people that were key set PAs on TV shows. So if they needed an extra 5 people to go watch a street corner or something, they'd hire you for a day and then you could say you worked on this show, you know, and things kind of moved from there. It was a lot of in-person networking with Grand Valley people. And then I would also agree with Facebook as well. I work in nonfiction documentary. I'm in a couple Facebook groups where people are looking to find PAs, DPs, camera assistants all around the country for various shoots when something happens in the news, somebody's doing a documentary in some random city. So people are looking for people around the country sometimes too.
Awesome. Well, it looks like we have another question coming up. Do you have any experience with what the Burbank area is like?
I live and work in Burbank. Burbank is essentially the most Midwestern part of Los Angeles. There are people walking their dogs at 11 p.m. at night. It's a lot of just great community. There's not a lot of things that happen in Burbank. It's pretty quiet. But as somebody who has kind of traveled around LA and really experienced all the different locations, being able to go to the crazy parts or go to the nightlife places like Hollywood is so much easier than living there, because I know people who live in Hollywood who are like, oh yeah, then this happened outside my front door, this, that. Burbank, it gets hot here because it's in the valley. It's been 100 for the past week and a half or so. But Burbank is by far one of the best places, in my opinion, to live. It's maybe a little bit pricier, but if you can find the right place, you can definitely get a deal on things.
Well, then that launches us into where to live in LA. So as someone in Grand Rapids, I would just search LA and like cheap. That clearly could lead to some poor decisions. What do you guys recommend? I know you've mentioned the Valley and Burbank, and not where Talon lives, is what I've heard.
Yeah. So first off, LA is a lot bigger than you expect. It's 30 miles a zone. And like technically LA goes all the way down the county or the city, technically all the way down to Long Beach. And so if you search LA on like Zillow or something, you'll find places that are cheap, but they're actually like in Long Beach, and you're going to be spending 2 hours commuting, 3 hours commuting every day. You're going to want to try to find someplace central, or just try to find someplace in the valley that's cheaper, but not too far in the valley, because then traffic is the king of this city.
So Palin, where do you live?
So I live near the USC campus in South Central LA. So South Central, which is like north of Compton. So it's not like the best area, but it's way cheaper than any place else that I've ever seen. I paid less than most people I know,
awesome.
Which I'm okay with.
Just tell me, where do you guys live? So EJ, you said Burbank?
Yes. I will say when I moved out here, I lived in North Hollywood. It's a little bit cheaper, but it's also like right next to Burbank. So it still has like a good kind of vibe to it. But yeah, now I'm in Burbank.
Okay. And which one do you like better, Burbank or North Hollywood?
Burbank, I would say.
And Kelly, where are you living? Where have you lived since you've been there?
So first I lived with Jamie for 2 weeks. Then I found housing through a Facebook group. I live here in Sherman Oaks with a roommate who has also been working in the industry as a freelance set dresser. So she's able to help me get my first gigs and everything like that. And now I work about a 10-minute commute down the street at my office building on Ventura in Sherman Oaks. And so I've had a small little world here. And I love the Valley. I love Sherman Oaks. I think it's the best start for someone from Michigan is to just be in the Valley and get used to living in a big city. Because even if you're from Detroit, it's not similar.
And Jamie, how about you? Where have you lived?
I've actually lived in the same apartment for the past 5.5 years. So I live in North Hollywood. I moved out here with a fellow college friend, Michael Dope. We've been roommates for 5.5 years. So we live in North Hollywood, but we live in the Arts District of North Hollywood, which I'm basically on the corner of where Toluca Lake, Burbank, and like Hollywood meets. So it's very trendy now. It never used to be. It was not like this when we moved in.
And Scott, how about you?
Yeah, I lived in Burbank for a year. Burbank's fine. It's not all that great. It's fine. I lived in Los Feliz for like 6-7 years. And then I basically got priced out of the neighborhood because I've seen rent pretty much double. Everybody in my building got evicted. They flipped it and then they about doubled the rent. The thing is, the neighborhoods are constantly changing because of that. And you're seeing a lot of luxury apartments go up everywhere, which totally changes each neighborhood. Right now, I live in Glendale, but it's always changing. And I think for me, the thing I learned was just getting here, finding a neighborhood, finding a decent apartment. And then you spend a year getting a lay of the land and figuring out where you are going to end up actually working. And where you end up working is going to dictate where you should live. Because yeah. I see a lot of job opportunities as a freelancer on the West Side, and I do not take those because I don't want to spend 3 hours a day in my car. But if there was a job that I really loved that was over there, then I would move across the city potentially.
That's a really good point to making sure you're doing what you love if you got to spend that time on the road.
So the only reason I've even stayed in the same apartment is because I've worked at Universal my whole time, which is down the street. So, I mean, if I had a job somewhere else, I probably would have moved. I just kind of lucked out.
It looks like we have another question from Rachel. What kind of experience or skills are internship employers looking for in the LA film scene, specifically the fiction or animation scene, if anyone has experience with that?
For internships, when I moved here, I did an internship on the Paramount lot for a producer, and basically worked as like an office assistant. It was a development job, basically. I answered phones, I read scripts, I wrote coverage, got lunch, got coffee. I think there's a lot of that, a lot of entry-level things. If you're looking at fiction specifically, script coverage, you read a lot of scripts, you realize scripts are terrible, nobody knows how to write. And if you want to write, you'll learn how to be a better writer. So that's useful.
Yeah, I had a very similar experience. I got an internship working for a GVSU alum. That's why I moved out here initially, was because I had the opportunity to apply for an internship and got it. And then I just moved like 2 weeks after I graduated, basically. I was planning on living in my car, but then AJ actually let me stay on his couch for 2 weeks, found the cheapest apartment I could find, and then stayed there and did the internship. But the skills that you need, it's coverage, it's being a hard worker. Like, some people will like to see on your resume that you worked at Starbucks and worked 12-hour shifts. Or some people won't like that. It really depends on the person. It's just build up your skills in every way that you can. It just depends on the person. It's like, it's a hard question to answer. Just keep doing work and then keep applying.
Academic brother does a lot of hiring. I mean, he's in physical therapy, totally different. But he said one of his interview questions is, have you ever worked in a restaurant? Because working in a restaurant, you have to really give it your all for long hours. So I think that's interesting, like the Starbucks talk. You just have to prove yourself, no matter what industry you're in, that you're a hard worker and you're reliable and that you do what you say you're going to do. You be where you're supposed to be. It's not, you know, rocket science. It's just being, you know, those Midwestern, that work ethic. It's really useful. What advice would you give to someone trying to be a screenwriter / director, move to LA, move to New York, etc.? Yeah, I think you might be a good one to answer this.
I would recommend New York or LA if you're looking to be a screenwriter. I mean, you'll hear people say that you can write anywhere in the country, but I think you could be a screenwriter anywhere in the country if you lived in LA or New York for 10 years and really made a name for yourself and had an agent and got a good track record. Then you can kind of leave LA and live somewhere else if you want. You really need to be here and be able to network with people and take meetings. I mean, there's a lot of in-person meetings for directors and writers, and you just need to be around people. So I would advise being in New York or LA if you want to direct. But the, you know, the question of like, how do you get to that point? There's a million ways to do it. You know, you can start as a PA, you can start in development, you can start in reality. I shifted from wanting to be a screenwriter, director of narrative films into documentary and post-production. I didn't plan that. I didn't expect it, but I found that I like it a lot more. So there's a million paths.
Well, and Talent and Kelly, you both want to be showrunners and writers as well. So what steps have you guys been taking to get to that?
What Scott just said really hits the point of the why of moving to LA. It's not really the work that you're going to be getting the first year or two. It's the fact that there's all these other people that are trying to do the same thing as you, and you're going to be meeting them, and you're going to be going to events where you meet them. You're going to be going to events where you're going to be learning things and doing things and constantly building those skills that will eventually get you that meeting, that will eventually get you in the room that you can have those discussions. It's not about, oh, I'm going to move to LA and get the job right away, or that PA job is going to lead me. It's all the other things that you're doing outside of your work. You got to be like hustling, constantly working, constantly writing, constantly. And that is sort of the why you, if you want to choose to move to LA. And going to more specifically to the question you just asked, which is, what am I doing? I'm consistently right now just writing, taking this time that I have at work at home and using all the time to write. And I'm still trying to reach out to people and get advice and trying to find ways to navigate those jobs and applying for those writer's assistant jobs, even if I might not be qualified for them. Just keep on doing it over and over until one day someone gives me a chance.
For me personally, I kind of have a dual thing going where I have my original track where I do want to be a showrunner or work in development for fiction. But obviously I'm at a reality TV company. So what I've been doing during this time is I've been like talking to our development team who comes in. I've been assisting them a little bit, helping them find props or helping them find contacts for shows that are currently in development. And so I kind of have like a dual mind of thinking, okay, I want to continue a little bit with my existing plan. And then what can I also advance in this career, in this position where I'm at right now? So like Scott was saying, like he ended up in a totally different thing. And of course, I think we all come out here with a specific job, a specific position in mind of what we want to do someday. But I also know, hey, if I don't end up there, I already feel like there's something here I'm really enjoying. And let's see where that track goes. And maybe they'll meet up someday. Maybe they won't. But I did know that thanks to some advice from alumni that I got, because I moved out here a couple days before the 2019 LA alumni event. And Scott told me and Josh told me, office production assistant is a position you want to look at for the kind of track that you're going in. And so when I found one, I was like, I'm going to learn everything Raleigh related so I can take it going forward in my career. And here I am.
We're taking a short break to tell you about the Dirk Koenig Memorial Film and Video Scholarship. Here's Gretchen Vinich remembering Dirk Koenig.
The Koenig Scholarship enables students to get that kind of an education, to be a good filmmaker, to be able to express their voice, and to continue Dirk's dream.
For more information and to donate to the scholarship, visit the link in the description. Now back to the show.
So I want to kind of touch back to the housing thing and this idea of cost of living. So we have a question, how much are apartments and how do you afford them? Because, I mean, I have a 2-bedroom in Grand Rapids. The price, I'm assuming, is a little bit less than out there.
I mean, we're in a weird situation right now, like I said, with the pandemic, that there are reports of some rent dropping in areas, but it's not like my landlord's dropping my rent. Like, my rent's set. He's not going to change my rent. It's like the new luxury apartments that are going for a little cheaper. But rent in the past 5 years has skyrocketed in LA. It's ever changing and it just completely goes up and up. And like Scott said, it also depends on the area you're in. One area can be super affordable, not a great area. And then in a couple years, now it's like the trendiest place to live. So it changes a lot. I'll give real numbers. I'm not ashamed. When I first moved out here, we have a 2-bedroom, 2-bath apartment in North Hollywood. Our rent was $1,500 for the 2-bedroom, 2-bath. It is not $1,500 anymore. It has gone up significantly over the years. We now pay $2,100. So that's for a 2-bedroom, 2-bath place in our area. Now I have central AC. I have 2 parking spots next to each other. I have tons of street parking. I live next to a taco stand. Like, I have a lot of great things that are reasons why mine is worth it. We have like 2 balconies. There are reasons why I'm okay paying that price. Also, I just don't feel like moving. But, you know, it really depends on your amenities. There are a lot of places in LA that don't come with refrigerators. So you have to buy a fridge, or they don't have AC. You have like 1 box AC or none at all, or you have no parking and your street also has no parking. So it really varies. It really depends on where you live and what you're looking for and what's really important to you. Like for me and my roommate, we're like, I want 2 bathrooms because we're a boy and a girl and I'm not sharing a bathroom with him. So that was really important to us. We could have found cheaper apartments with 1 bathroom or smaller ones or ones that had street parking, but we kind of had our list of demands that we were trying to meet. And obviously we settled for what we could get at the time, but it really depends on the area you're living in.
So talking about different areas, Palin, if you don't mind sharing.
My rent has yet to go up since I moved here, which I'm so thankful for. I pay $1,700 is the total for 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom. And I live in South Central, and that's the cheapest that I've seen it when I first moved here. And also still now when I like look at apartments and I have AC and I have 2 parking spots, which is like the only things you ever need, but it didn't come with the fridge and all those things. But the way I was able to afford it is I didn't have as much savings as I thought I needed. I realized I needed because I was living in this apartment before I had a job for 5 months, blew through my savings paying rent. And so I ended up having someone sleep on the couch and live on the couch for like 6 months, 7 months, maybe more. And like it significantly lowered the rent so that they were paying like $500 a month just to live on a couch, which for them is like a great deal. But then it made my rent cheaper. And that's how you afford it, is you find ways to like make it affordable.
And you all, I'm assuming, all have roommates. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I found my roommate, like I said, through a Facebook group. I started my search on a Friday and I found her on Sunday. And what's great about these Facebook groups is it's people looking for roommates because they've already have existing leases. They just want someone to fill a room. And they say how much it's going for. They list the amenities. You go over, you visit them. It's just the person itself. And you guys are going to hate me, but my rent is $850 because I live in a rent-controlled apartment and it's a master bedroom. Yeah, I love it. I super lucked out. Plus, I also found my roommate that way, who works in the industry, and she was able to get me my first job and everything. But there is only street parking. And I had a pine cone fall in my car and break my windshield the other day. So it's not the best. You can tell that this apartment has not been renovated since the 60s when it was built. And that shows a lot. I mean, it's in a good neighborhood and I can live with old carpeting if it means my rent is $850. So that was worth it to me.
Yeah. When I moved here, I lived in a 2-bedroom, 2-bath in Burbank with 2 Grand Valley alums. So it's 3 people with 2 bedrooms. One guy lived in the living room. It was $1,650 a month. I had a friend live in that same complex like 6-7 years later, and she was paying like $600 more a month, something like that. I moved 10 years ago. I moved to Los Feliz and I got a studio apartment for $750. Now that apartment is probably $1,750 now, I can about guarantee you. So that's kind of the question of where to live and how much it costs. It's like, I've seen the prices double. I live in Glendale now. I have a 2-bed, 2.5-bath townhouse, and it's 2,100. And that's a really good price right now. That's a really good price. If I still lived in Los Feliz, for what I have, I would pay $2,500 to $3,000 a month easily.
I think that's a really good point to bring up also about apartments in LA. When you have roommates, your apartment's cheaper. Like a studio here, you'd be paying almost as much as if you were in a 2-bedroom with someone else. Like studios and bedrooms are very expensive in LA because isn't that to live alone? But it's in your best interest to get roommates.
My situation, I was living in a place in North Hollywood first. And if you're squeamish, like there's a situation, I guess if we're going to be real on this, our downstairs neighbors had roaches and they came up to us. Yeah. What Lewis and I did, we found a place in Burbank. And what Jamie said, where it was like you find something that's important to you. Hers was 2 bathrooms. Ours was 2-car parking. We wanted that so desperately that we found places that were like pretty good, but only had like 1-car parking and then street parking. We'd always go up and down the streets. And we lucked out. It was crazy because we found a place in Burbank, 2 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, central air, 2-car parking underneath the structure, full carpet. We brought our refrigerator over from North Hollywood and we pay $1,850 a month, $925 a person. And it's been great to us. And Scott, I see why you don't like Burbank, because you started there. I went from North Hollywood roaches to Burbank with no roaches. And I'm like, okay, this is the highlight of luxury.
I killed a roach this morning at my place. So
there you go. North Hollywood. I don't know why that is, but I'll say I lived in Glendale and my whole building was tented for bugs at one point, and that was terrible.
Mm. I remember seeing, Scott, on your Facebook, like the evacuation of a bee colony from your balcony or something one year.
Yeah, I mean, look, you get what you pay for. I have a good price, and we put up with a lot of crap over the years. It's been,
we have to save the bees.
Those bees were not saved, unfortunately.
Oh, they were. Okay.
I think Jamie takes the cake on the weirdest creature that's living outside her apartment.
Bugs are very real in LA, and I consider myself a very clean person. I hate bugs, so they are not allowed in my apartment no matter what. Like, you won't see a spider in my apartment. I don't deal with it. But 2 years ago, we got fleas because our downstairs neighbor, who we despised, had dogs. I don't know, they didn't take care of them or something, and they had fleas. And they, because my roommate has a balcony in his room, somehow came up onto his balcony. We don't have a pet. There's no reason I should have fleas. And I was the most livid tenant my manager has probably ever seen. And so they had to fumigate not only us, but like other tenants got them also, because this one person had fleas. And I was just like, out of all the bugs I could get, or all the problems that you can get in an apartment, it was crazy that I'm like, please, I don't own a pet. I should not have to deal with this.
Neighbors are pretty crazy out here. Let's just say that. Yeah. You meet some interesting people.
You're really selling the place.
I know.
No, it's great. Once you get past the roaches and the fleas and the no parking, it's great.
I didn't expect the conversation to go this way. So this is fun.
That's real talk.
Besides LA, are there other areas within California that would be great for finding video editing or videography jobs?
It depends on what type of editing and what type of videography, which is not the answer you want to hear. But I know a Grand Valley alum. He's in Santa Barbara and he's doing videography, and I think it's for a medical company. So there's some in San Diego, San Francisco, the Bay Area's got a lot of documentary work, actually. I know a lot of editors start in San Francisco as well, and most of them end up coming to LA. So if you're going to look at anywhere in California other than LA, I'd say jobs in other cities, they're not necessarily going to feel entertainment related. You know, it's like a corporate gig.
Has moving to LA been harder than you thought?
I'm going to say no, because I spent so long prepping for this move that I was really ready to fight for everything. Even though I had visited LA the year before and I visited with Jamie, I just had in mind that a move to LA is going to be the hardest thing I ever do in my life, or at least I've done so far. And I was prepared for a nightmare of situations. And then, like I said, I found housing within 3 days. And then my roommate was able to get me my first job, which then led to other jobs. And then I found the current position I'm in on the same day that it was posted on a job posting board for LA. So I'm very lucky in that everything has kind of worked out for me. And everything that hasn't worked out for me was through, like I think Talon was saying earlier about blowing through my savings. That didn't help at all. I was doing the thing where I wasn't working enough in freelance to offset my housing costs. So that kind of foiled me. But otherwise, I feel extremely lucky. I'm in a very good position, all things considered. So I was just prepared for the worst. And that's why I feel like everything worked out.
So Jamie, you were,
I've come from a totally different situation. So we didn't really have an alumni like solid group out here when I moved out here. I also had like no connection. I moved out like 6 months after graduation with like barely any money. I didn't have any leads on a job or a place to live. So me and my roommate literally lived out of our cars for 3 weeks and like couch surfed and spent a bunch of money on cheap motels if we had to. But I essentially was homeless for 3 weeks. So I came from a very different situation, but I look back on those times and think that it made me stronger in it because I think I was prepared for it not to be easy because I didn't have any connections or any easy way of getting around, but it kind of shaped me into the career and kind of prepared me moving forward, being like, well, I'm here and I worked really hard to make it this far, so I'm going to not fail and I'm not going to move back and kind of go through it. It really just depends on your situation. And, you know, I wish someone told me to save up more money. I wish I knew more alumni who lived out here. I wish there was like the alumni group that we have now, like these meetings that we do yearly and everything like that, or these webinars. We didn't have that. We did not have that. And I knew like one person and we were mutual friends. And luckily he let me sleep on his couch for a little bit. But like, I didn't have anyone like what Kelly had for me. I wish I'd had for someone be like, can I just sleep in your living room for a couple weeks until I get my feet on the ground? So I guess it really just depends on your situation, which is really important that you guys are even watching things like these webinars and making connections before you move out to LA, because if you don't have those connections, it's going to be hell.
If I could add, it just depends on what like you're willing to go through, what your like rock bottom is. Like I was planning on, I had a minivan at the time that like fell apart and I was planning on living in it. Like I couldn't find an apartment quick enough after staying on AJ's couch. Like I lied and said I had a place to live when I got my internship and did all those things. And I was like willing to live in my car. And it just depends on what you're willing to do. And yeah, it's going to be very rocky. Like I didn't have a job. I was almost out of money. And then all of a sudden I just like out of nowhere, I got a freelance gig at FX that now has turned into a staff position. It depends. It's going to be hard, harder versus harder than I expected. I don't know.
All right, let's go to another question. Can you talk about the difference between working for an organization, a company, or freelancing in LA? Scott, are you the only one freelancing?
I don't know about everybody else, but yeah, I've been freelancing pretty much for 11 years. I was like permalance at a company for about 2 years, which has basically been kind of outlawed now. There's all these new labor laws in California, which make freelancing really complicated. So I had to actually set up my own corporation to continue freelancing because you can't even hire people as independent contractors in California anymore because of the new law. The thing they don't really teach you is that there's all this like business savvy that you need to get through all this. So a lot of what I do is like as a business person dealing with accountants and lawyers and, you know, figuring out finances and stuff like that, that you don't really have to think about if you're just a W-2 employee. But I like it because I do my own projects. So I can't really continue directing and producing my own projects if I have to give 40 to 60 hours a week to a company. I need that flexibility.
So anyone want to comment on working for a company, AJ?
Yeah, to inverse that, I'm a big fan of stability and I'm in post. So being able to just have a job and have that for a good amount of time is something that I was really looking for when I first moved to LA. And luckily I got in with a company, started as a runner, kind of moved up in the ranks to assistant editor and then eventually editor. And the nice part about like being at a company versus jumping from job to job is that there's potential to move up. And granted, Talon started as a freelancer at FX and got into a staff. I'm sure he's going to talk about that. But also being able to have benefits is great from the company that I'm at. Like I had that when I started as a runner, like sometimes it starts early. I'm a big fan of stability. So I'd say working for a company, there's something solid there that I don't need to worry about finding out where the next check is going to come from.
I think it just also depends on what your ultimate goal is. Like if you find a job like mine where I can sort of do my work during the day and then also at night focus on my writing or focus on other things, then that works for me and I do it. And then I have the stability of having health insurance and having the security, having a paycheck every week and not having to stress about finding work every 5 months or whatever it is. So it just depends on what your ultimate goal is. If you're wanting to create your own projects and you need the openness of freelance, then do that. But if you want the stability to be able to use the time, but then there's also staff jobs that don't allow you to do that, that take all of your energy. Working 40, 60 hours a week can make it impossible to write or make it impossible. Like AJ, for example, as trailer editor, that's his life for basically all week and sometimes weekends.
It's a lot of hours. It's a highly demanding job, but the good part is that I like it. So I put a lot of energy toward it.
So I worked as freelance to kind of gear up for a company position. So I'm really happy with my resume. And I think it got the key to help me get this job is, like I was saying earlier, I had that office experience back home in Indiana, but then I had several freelance positions specifically in LA. And even though they were on sets, like set dresser or art PA, I was able to show, hey, I've actually worked on sets out here that I can point at, and here's my office experience, and that blend was really helpful. So my roommate, she's entirely freelance, she's set dresser, she's trying to get into a union, but she's been working at this for 5 years, and this is the first year before COVID happened that she was really able to just have so many projects that she was able to turn things down. And she had been on unemployment before during gaps in production, like the summer months, June, July, is sometimes really slow for that. And she had to go on unemployment, but it's taken her several years to be able to get to this point that she is constantly in demand as a freelancer. And I think if you're coming out here as totally green, not a ton of like jobs lined up, and you're trying to pay all your bills off of freelance, I'm going to say it's very, very difficult to do as a freelance PA starting out here from what I've experienced. But I mean, an internship is a great segue rather than just trying to find a job off of Craigslist or something.
I mean, you mentioned unemployment, Kelly. I think unemployment's actually really, really common in LA, even if you're in like one of the unions, like say you're like a union grip or something, you might have 3 weeks in between gigs, and those might be 9 month gigs. People file for unemployment like the day their job ends because they don't know when the next one's going to start. So those people, they're kind of staff, they're kind of freelance, it changes, but like unemployment, I don't see it as even like a bad sign of anything. It's just it's needed.
Oh, that's a great perspective. Didn't know that. So one thing I did want to touch on, since I have a couple strong females in this group, is what's the difference, like for you guys, the female perspective of working and living in LA? Any considerations that you've had to make as far as where you live, how you approach jobs?
I love talking about this topic because I like to really enforce the idea of sexism in our career and entertainment specifically. When people hear sexism, they immediately think that I'm being told, you can't do this because you're a girl, or I don't like you because you're a girl. Like, it's very blatant. Now, there have been situations. I've been called many names on film sets because of my gender, but I think the most common one that we deal with on a daily basis almost is microaggressions, which I think is the underdog form of sexism that people don't really talk about much or really understand. Something that I have always had to deal with, even working in a corporate setting, is the microaggressions of either getting mansplained something or being talked over constantly or not listening to what I'm saying in a meeting and then saying exactly what I said 5 seconds later. Those are the kind of things that I think as females we deal with on a daily basis that we kind of just become used to. I can go on my day unbothered most of the time, but it is something that we deal with constantly. And it's something that we deal with some of our closest friends and colleagues. You know, some of my closest friends at work have talked over me or have accidentally mansplained something to me. And the thing I would say is something that we're seeing a lot of now, especially in the anti-racism movement, is people being understanding and not so defensive when they are called out on something. And so my advice to everyone, men, women, everything in between, is that when someone tells you, hey, I think you just mansplained something to me, or you said something to me that was a little condescending, for you to just accept it, because the last thing I want to hear is someone tell me, well, I didn't mean it that way. And it's like, well, that's how it was perceived. So you're going to have to deal with that a lot. I mean, I have a lot of very sexism moments in my job because I work on a construction site half the year. So I work with union construction guys that are just gross. So I have to deal with a lot of things like that, or being thought of that I can't handle something on a work site. Being asked where my pink hard hat is a fun one. Being told to smile constantly. I also work in horror. So working in horror can sometimes be very sexist because it's considered a man's gig. And so being, you know, this female working in horror is not always fun because a lot of times I'm not taken as seriously as my male counterparts. Or when I show up to a meeting or a set or something, as an assistant art director, people will look at my male coordinator and immediately start asking him the questions, assuming that he is in charge. They'll ask me, like, are you going to be taking notes today? I'll be like, I'm not. My coordinator's going to be taking notes. Let's not do the assumptions so much.
And Kelly, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, actually, even before I moved out here, there was an incident at GV with a fellow film student who was making some sexist comments on Facebook about women in the film program. And I actually had a nice meeting with some of the film professors about it, just talking about like the state of it, and then hearing some of the female film professors saying things about male students doing even towards them was just, I mean, we always know sexism is everywhere, every industry, everywhere in the world. I've applied for freelance jobs out here, and then I'm contacted for it. And then they're saying, oh, well, we were looking for a guy to do it. And I'm like, why? And it's things about like, you know, lifting or aspects of the job where it's like, that doesn't necessarily exclude women. You could just say that you need a strength requirement to be able to lift X amount of pounds. I'm really lucky in that there's a pretty even gender split in the office that I'm working at. I can't speak for Seth so much, but definitely in an office environment, I feel like it is very even, very fair. We have women in coordination positions, director positions, all kinds of things. So I feel like definitely for the office production aspect, I feel like it's been pretty good to us as women.
That's great to hear. Now, I'll ask the three gentlemen, have you ever had any experience with sexism as a male or seen it happening to your female coworkers? And do you have any recommendations for how to be a good supporter to your female coworkers?
I was going to say, I've definitely seen it in the office. And the best advice is just to listen to people and let them talk. And don't try to explain what you think. Just listen and understand. And then try to go from there and move from there, from the perspective of empathy, rather than, oh, I understand this. You have to listen to people because you're going to see it. The best way to be an advocate is to help them help themselves. Just support people.
And Scott?
Yeah, I've definitely seen it. I've experienced it a little bit myself. And I've worked for some companies where the room is all men. And that always weirds me out. I hate working for companies that it's all men. I always find the working environments are best when there's a lot of women in charge or there's like more women than men. I really like those companies a lot. And I would just say to guys, if you see this, call it out. If you're afraid to call it out, think how much more afraid the people are to call it out who it's directed towards. So, I mean, I don't think the onus has to be on women to call out sexism. I think if men are the ones perpetrating it, they can call it out and should call it out even more.
That's a great, I'm so happy to hear you say that. That's really encouraging for the future of the film industry, I think.
I would also echo that goes with other isms like racism. If you're noticing that every single person is white, call it out. If you're noticing that people might be getting mistreated, even if it's might be getting mistreated because of the color of their skin or their identity, call it out. It's something that needs to change. And so if you can bring it up, do it.
Well, we are ending our time here today. This has been an awesome conversation, and I didn't know if you guys each want to go around with maybe one final piece of advice that you've just really been wanting to share.
The thing that I wish I would have known is save more money than you think you need. I had like $6,000 or $7,000, and that went away within 5 or 6 months. Not all of it, but a lot of it did, because I was paying rent without an income. I had an unpaid internship. I would say minimum save $10,000 and find a place that you're comfortable living. On top of that, know what you want to do, what your goal is. And not only that, know the why. Like, I want to write. And I know the why I want to write. And so then every decision I make needs to service that goal. And so that will answer all of those questions that people are asking, like, okay, should I do freelance or staff? Should I do this or this? Should I do this or this? Know what you want to do and then find the answers, all the subsequent questions.
Jamie, you got any last words of wisdom?
I would say that whether you're moving to LA, New York, anywhere, just know that it's not going to be as easy as you think, and that you just need to mentally prepare for that and just really have a big, solid plan. And then, you know, during this time, some of my biggest advice to people when they ask, like, what can they do right now since there's no job and they're kind of feeling a little stuck during the pandemic, my biggest advice is just to seek out any opportunities you can. You never stop learning. If you have access to LinkedIn Learning or things like that, if you want to learn new programs and skills, if you can find other webinars and panels like this one, or if there's any jobs that are just adjacent to entertainment. Entertainment isn't just film. I work in themed entertainment, which is like theme parks, museums, events. So there are so many different parts of entertainment that you can easily move through and those skills still apply. So just kind of seeing what is out there and what you can do now during these tough times that might help you gain skills and work experience that you can eventually transfer over back into film.
Awesome. Kelly?
Live in the valley. Have a car. Learn how to write an email properly. Make sure that you just have the most basic. I'm so serious. Just remember, learn how to do an Excel sheet. Get those basics taken care of. Have your own car. Don't have California car insurance. Stay in that Michigan car insurance if you can. And basically just remember that even if you have your own path that you think you want to take, don't be afraid to deviate from that because it's not going to dictate the rest of your life. Try new things. Look on Craigslist. Craigslist isn't that scary. You'll find a job out here. I found a couple of positions off of there. So just stay open and stay safe and know it's possible. It is possible, totally possible.
And Scott, any words of wisdom?
I would say be very careful about Craigslist.
Oh.
There are jobs on Craigslist, but they are the shadiest jobs you will find anywhere. There are a lot of other job sites. Craigslist is shady. But I have found good jobs on there. You just have to be really discerning.
Yeah, be careful.
You have to be very careful. I would say, depending on what your goals are, I mean, I think a lot of people go to film school, they want to be a writer, director, they want to be a producer. That changes a lot of times. And I think that's good. But I think for the people that are thinking that they want to be a writer, director, just expect it's going to take 10 to 20 years before that really starts happening for you. And if you're not willing to put in the work for it to take 10 to 20 years, then maybe don't go that path. Because if you set a benchmark of 10 years and you are directing films in like 7, you're doing great, you know? But if you're 10 years in and you're thinking, why is this not happening for me yet? That's pretty normal. I mean, if your goals are very high, they're just going to take way longer than maybe you expect. So you need to be prepared for that.
And AJ?
If you're still in college, get involved with as many things as you can, because that's the experience that's going to show off in California. If you're part of like Grand Valley TV or the radio or different things that give you the experience, that's going to show on your resume out here. And people are going to be impressed by that, that as a college student, you're able to balance all of that. If you're out here, apply to jobs, because even if it's stuff that you're not exactly qualified for, places might have different opportunities in lower positions for you. It's just all about kind of getting your name out there. I applied so many times and stuff comes back. Don't feel too bad if you don't get something within a month, because after that, I started getting job applications back and job interviews and things like that. And finally, if you're out here, learn to become fluent in street signs and curb colors. That will also save a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you all. This has been enlightening, a little creepy with the bugs that we talked about. And
hey, they got to know.
And yeah, things we all need to know. So I would just encourage all of you to connect with the Alumni Live future broadcast. We have more episodes coming. Just connect with all of our lovely panelists today via social media, LinkedIn, and start your networking now. And move to LA when you're ready with money in the bank. That's all.
And after COVID.
And after COVID, right. Well, it takes some time to get money in the bank. So you have that time already put in. Let's all be smart and safe with our face masks on and get back to work when it's safe. So absolutely. Thank you all again. We're signing off Alumni Live.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Alumni Live, the podcast. Subscribe to our podcast to hear more from our alumni across the industry. Check out Alumni Live on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for more conversations and networking. Let us know what topics you want to hear our alumni talk about. The Grand Valley State University Film Video Alumni Network is here for you, and we're glad that you're here. Thank you for listening.